beef, and choosing beef, you got some
shoes.
Oh, beef, you got some shoes and beef.
Shoes.
Beef, what kind of shoes and beef?
Shoes.
Yes, that's right, shoes. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Big Thing.
Shoes.
It is Friday, the year of our Lord, and I appreciate you. Hopefully you appreciate me. I don't know. If you don't, it doesn't really matter. Leave a comment. Tell me why. We have been answering a lot of different comments here on The Big Thing Show. Appreciate you being here. Thank you for all the wonderful things that you guys have been saying about the show. We're so excited that you're enjoying it. Make sure that you're following us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to this channel. Make sure that you hit that little bell so that way you know exactly when we have these shows. It's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's the big thing. And then obviously every other day we've got Movie Trivia Schmodown up on the main YouTube channel. But on the podcast feed, it's the big thing, a big thing that we talk about. There'll be a lot of different stories and things. I love that you guys are digging the stand-up stories and the relationship advice, apparently from me and Steph, which has been fun at the very least. But today I talked to my pal, Kate Amboulagan. Hello. I pranked Kate.
Yeah, Christian just pranked me real good.
Yeah.
So I'm both salty right now.
Good, good, good.
And my heart rate's up.
I love it. So
yeah, do you?
Unfortunately, I can't. We can't talk about it because no. It was a fun prank.
Was it though?
I thought so. It's good. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? Look at that guy.
Ugh.
He's coming to, this is, for those people, for the audio listeners, there's a picture of a little pug, and he's coming to the show. He's coming to the show on, well, we get him on August 15th. I don't know when he's going to be on the show, but I'm so excited. This time.
I just want to say, the bit that you hated, you just did.
What?
Oh, for the audio listeners.
You said that I hate that. I never said that I hate that. It's just, it was when you do.
That's the bit? That's the bit of the year.
That's the bit of the year.
That's not loving the bit.
It's so funny. But when I gave it to Alex, because we talked, and he's like, because you were like, I think Alex is really upset. And I was like, no, not upset. Alex knows how to play it.
Yeah.
He competed very well at the FCL the other day.
I didn't see, did he?
Good. Nice support. I love him. Nice support from you. Are you watching Loki, by the way?
I'm not, but do you know what I did watch yesterday?
What's that?
Rocky.
The first one that we
the
talked
first
about. And we talked about it.
And I didn't, here's what, I did start getting sleepy towards, like, it was going to be the big fight. And yeah. I was like, I gotta pull it.
It's just because you
so
were tired.
I did not see the, yeah, I didn't see the full fight. That movie.
It's phenomenal, isn't it?
It's an art movie.
Yeah.
Why did I think it was going to be a boxing movie?
Well, because the first movie is, it is an absolute art movie because it when you, especially, do you know any of the story? Like, as, not the actual story, but like how he got it. Like, they didn't want him. Like
they didn't want Stallone?
No, he was a nobody. And
I want to suck his beautiful, luscious lips off his face. He's
totally different.
Such a, he's such a babe. I wish he wouldn't have jacked his face up.
He got he got old, you know, but like.
No, but he also got work, didn't he?
I don't know. Maybe. Either way, so he.
I loved.
The movie, I think it cost like $200,000 to make or something. It was ridiculous.
What?
It cost, or maybe a million. I can't, something very. It was like $1 million. It was something very, very little to make, and they had no budget. But they also, who's that? Who's
Ding
doing
dong.
That?
Come
I want
in.
You to stop that. I want you to stop that right now because it's unprofessional and
it
doesn't work.
Unprofessional.
It doesn't. I don't like it. But yeah, this is the movie itself. He wrote it, and they're like, "Oh, okay, great. We'll pay you whatever it was, $60,000." Like, hey, $60,000. That's my time. Man. That's a lot of money. And he didn't. But he didn't take it because he said, "I want to play." Like you can't. No one knows who you are. You were in Lords of Flatbush. You can't play this character. I think I want to tell you it was Robert Redford was somebody that was
is
up for.
Is this his first thing?
It's his first real big starring role. Yeah, he fought for.
Holy
it. Said,
shit!
And, yeah, you watch the making of it, and everything of how it all came to be, and what he was going to do, and it's phenomenal. The movie gets nominated for an Oscar. He gets nominated for a Best Actor award. It wins Best Picture.
Oh my God. Because I'm telling you, I was also like, Adrian, you would never see a movie about a boxer now with a woman like Adrian.
Right.
Just sort of a nerdy, introverted.
Well, it shows the difference of them completely, but will you stop it?
I'm trying to be professionals here.
But the only thing I can't remember who I talked about this with. I think it was Dan. I mean, it was Dan. The only thing that, today in that movie, you got up until the fight itself?
Right until the fight.
So the only scene that I don't think that would play today is when he asks Adrian into the apartment.
Oh yeah, no. It's he's a little
like,
dicey.
Where you going? Yeah. Go over here.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm gonna go home. He's like, nah, come in. And then that. His intent is pure.
Yes.
He's completely innocent. And he's a good guy, but it's
he
like,
does rape her.
No,
yes.
does not rape her, but it certainly
sorry,
doesn't. But
I
it's
that part.
It's very pushy.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was that scene does not play today. No. But the difference between the two of them is tremendous. Like,
I just feel like nowadays, like, I don't know, like you look at something like Ted Lasso, like a big sports star has like a hot, like,
right.
piece of ass.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like with a great person. And I feel like that's what you see in like sports movies
a lot
or sports
of times,
TV.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and Southpaw, even with Gyllenhaal, his wife was Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like,
right. Yeah.
I mean, and who was it? Amy Adams was in The Fighter.
Oh, The Fighter. But she downed herself.
But she I was gonna say she yeah. but she looked real.
She looked real, but oh, she yeah. also but I mean she yeah, but she's that type of actress. She has no fear. She can look absolutely beautiful and stunning in a movie, and then the next thing you need her to look like average or you just need her to look like just a normal person walking around.
Yep.
She can.
She'll do it.
But the '70s was also a very different time. When you're making movies, right? Because that's like the Godfather era,
right?
And
right.
you got Talia Shire in that movie, and she's from the Coppola family and doing that. And,
oh, I didn't realize that.
And then Burt Young as Paulie.
I was going to ask you about him.
So good.
That's like it's a weird like Rocky's kind of a weird movie.
Yeah, he's like an abusive weird, brother.
Yeah, like there's like I'm just saying there's like. It's not a classic trajectory of a sport. It's like,
no.
I don't know. I just, it was completely, this is what I'm saying. You're right. Like, it's fun to discover it for the first time. Because in my head, I was like, dun, 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 dun. I was like, there's going to be a lot of training montages.
A pop culture icon. Wait, so that's number four. Yeah. That's Rocky IV. Yeah. Pop culture icon, though, and there's a reason why.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, yeah, but for you, it's like, oh, yeah, Rocky, Stallone. And look, it's the same thing when I talk about First Blood. The Rambo movie. Everybody thinks of Rambo. They just think of this guy running around, shooting, people blowing him up, and like nobody could kill him. And the first Blood, the novel itself, is about a Vietnam War vet coming back PTSD. You know, and it's like, and it's 1972. The war's still going on when the novel happened. And in the novel, and I've talked about this a billion times over. For those people who are new to the show or hearing it for the first time, David Morrell wrote the book. And you're inside of Rambo's head the entire time, and he in the movie, which I just watched recently, he kills a cop by accident because the cop's trying to kill him, so he throws a rock at the helicopter just to say stop shooting at me, motherfucker, and the guy falls out. So that was like more self defense, right?
Yeah.
He does kill the dogs in the movie because they're trying to come get him. He shoots a couple of the cops, doesn't really. Kill anybody. In the book, kills everybody. He's when he breaks out of the cop place, he guts a cop and runs out. Obviously, you can't have Stallone doing that in 1982 he's coming off of Rocky III.
Right.
And it's like, okay, but, and plus, in the novel, Rambo dies. In the, they shot an ending where Rambo died.
Oh.
But the audience watched and said, did Sylvester Stallone just die?
Yeah, he doesn't. I don't know if you know this. Sylvester Stallone doesn't die.
He doesn't die. Plus the fact that if you would have killed him, then you don't get the franchise that you wind up getting. So obviously, smart move,
right
there. But yeah, bouncing back to Rocky, I go back and forth with Rocky 1, 2, and 3 are what my favorites are.
Really?
Yeah, because 1 is definitely the artsy movie for sure.
It's like it's real cinema.
It is. Rocky 1 is real. Is absolutely Rocky 2. Plays into that for sure, and then there's just something about it that I always respond to. I bounce back and forth. Sometimes I put 2 as my number one movie. Rocky 3 is definitely more of the more cinematic kind of boxing thing that you're talking about. But there's just at that point you're so invested in Rocky and like these kind of new villains that are coming. It's the first time you ever get introduced to Mr. T.
Right.
Ever.
Oh my god.
In life. So
I think
there's even an introducing Mr. T credit. That pops in there. But it's actually Rocky Balboa, which is the 6th movie that I think you and I were talking about.
And yeah.
That movie is the closest to Rocky 1, I think, out of all of them. Yeah, it feels that way. I'm still not crazy about the ending fight. It's fine. But in Rocky 5, you can just kind of...
I just bet. I think if you took all of the minutes that took place in a gym or in training in Rocky One, and you did like Million Dollar Baby's a great film.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
But you take the number of minutes or the percentage of the movie that's spent in a gym. I just didn't think there was going to be so much in this like this dingy apartment or in this like meat locker. Like there's all of this, like you feel the locations, like whoever that location manager was like,
it was them just going around this town and finding like,
and
hey,
like, yeah,
yeah, we got to try to get this one. I mean, that scene with him and Mickey, when Mickey tries to go get him to, a manager, what you need is a manager.
Yes.
And he's just like, hey, come on, it stinks in here, stinks! And he goes, and then he realizes, and he runs after him, and they have that great moment. How great is the Bill Conti score, by the way?
Oh, so it's incredible. Yeah. By the way, can we shoot me and like one of my players next year with doing me being like, what you need is a manager. I want to do. I want to do the manager scene.
And you should wear Mickey's outfit. Yeah. And he's like, and we,
hey, Thomas Harper, what you need is a manager.
And if he has two turtles, you'd be like, what? They make good pets. They make good soup.
They make good soup. By the way, no one ever has mentioned that I have Tommy Johnson, my tortoise. Yeah, no one's ever been like, oh, like Rocky.
Like Rocky, right.
I'm like,
he still has those things, Cuff and Link. They live to like 100 years old, those fucking turtles.
I know. Ours is going to live to be that long.
Yeah, time. And so they're real. He's one of them. I think they're both of them, but they're in Rocky Balboa, the sixth one.
No.
And they're massive now. They're like, because in Cuff and Link, they're
80 pounds. Yeah.
They're big. Like, yeah. In the first movie, they're like this big.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's 30 years later or whatever it is.
Oh,
and
my God. Like,
and they're massive now.
That's how ours is going to be, too. Yeah. We're going to have like I was like, this tortoise becomes Neil's problem in a couple of years.
In a couple basically. Of years. Yeah. Cuff and Link. As Cuff and Link.
It's such a weird, and like, also, like, what a weird, like, she works at a pet food store. Like, she works at a pet store.
And he tells her the jokes, the bad jokes. And then like, that dog, Butkus, that's his real dog. That was his real dog. Everything. Like,
God.
It was, like, the movie was, like, low budget. Like, that super low budget.
It makes it so magical, though.
100%. Like, I told you, and, like, the ice rink thing I told you about.
Yes.
Like, there was supposed to have all
I was
the
thinking
extras.
About that.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
It just plays so much better with just the two of them.
Oh, my God.
It makes the deal with the guy beforehand.
3 minutes!
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So good. And then and that whole scene where he's walking with a girl. Just, screw you, creepo.
Yeah. Okay, what's that girl's deal? Where has she gone to?
You want
to
know?
Yes.
She pops back up in Rocky Balboa.
Fuck off.
Yeah. She pops back up.
Does she look as busted as she does in that first?
No, she turned her life around. I remember when I saw you and you said, screw off, creepo. She said, no, I didn't. She said, yeah, you did. I remember a good insult.
Yeah.
Right? But the funny thing was, it's amazing. I don't think a lot of people know this, but I was such a, like, Rocky and Star Wars were pretty much like my two things.
Yeah.
When Rocky V came out, I even tried to convince myself that I enjoyed it more than I did. And I was, you know, I was 12, 13 at the time. I got a bootleg copy of it when I was out in theaters in like Manhattan. I got, you know, this is when somebody had like the big clunky thing.
Yes. They opened up a trench coat.
Yeah. And I don't know where else they got this, but there's scenes, and I don't know if it was like a test screening or whatever they did, because there were scenes that certainly weren't in the theatrical cut, because in the movie, in this version I saw, Little Marie is the girl's name.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
She's on a street corner in Rocky V, and her life went the other way. And
was
like, straight up, like, and it might have been the actual actress.
Yeah.
The one in Rocky Balboa is not. It's a new actress.
Okay.
But I guess Stallone changed his mind and didn't took her out of the street and said, no, you know what? Maybe she actually turned herself around.
Right.
Put her in Rocky Balboa instead. And that's what he did, because they cut her out of that scene. There's a scene where Little Marie, I wonder if you can find that on YouTube. I've never looked.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's like Little Marie in Rocky V.
The other thing I watched in honor of you.
What's that?
Terminator.
First one?
Never saw it.
It's the best.
It's really good, Christian.
The first Terminator, I don't lie to you. The first Terminator, I actually enjoy better than the second one.
You do?
Have you seen the second one?
No.
Oh, you haven't seen either?
No. No, but I just watched the first one.
One and two is all you really need to watch. I mean, you can.
But because I remember you talking about Sarah this is
Connor.
A time travel movie that I actually could follow.
Yeah.
That's very important for me.
And you watched the whole thing?
Yep.
My favorite, and that's one of those movies that I watch. I talk about my late friend Brian Cashier, who passed away in 9/11, and he was the guy who introduced me to George Carlin. He introduced me to a lot of comic book stuff when I was younger, but he introduced me one of the first movies I ever saw. Like, and I always talk about how the rated R movie I saw in theaters was Beverly Hills Cop. I'm pretty sure the first rated R movie I maybe ever saw on tape was Terminator. He showed me. Yeah. I remember watching it, and because his dad had a video store, and he had like laser discs before anybody else, and he had this whole basement, this whole room, like all to himself, and like, it was tech and everything in 1984, 1985, right? And it was incredible. So I remember we used to laugh all the time and keep rewinding when the guy goes, "Hey, buddy, what, you got a dead cat in there?" He's scanning through the options. "Fuck you, asshole."
Yeah, fuck you, asshole.
All right. Takes off. It's like, so, and even in the beginning, there's a guy in that is in both Rocky 3. He might even be Rocky 2, but he's in Rocky 3. He's a black dude that was in Rocky 3, and he's definitely in Terminator. And he's sitting in the... He's sitting
the
in
the truck when the lightning
comes. What the hell? And takes off. And then in Rocky 3, he's out on the, he's like in the street, and Paulie is like, "Shut up, you Steino bums, I'll squash you." And the guy goes, "And Paulie goes, "Who needs this? I don't." And that guy is, but yeah, the Terminator, man, that first movie, that's a horror film.
It's a horror film, yeah, for sure.
Great horror film.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and also, like, Schwarzenegger, again, look good. Schwarzenegger, yeah, look good. Yeah. But there, what happened to the guy, the other
Michael
guy?
Michael Biehn?
Yeah.
Yeah, Reese, he's around. He is? He was in Mandalorian season 2.
Who was he in Mandalorian?
In Ahsoka.
Yes, the best. I think the best. I just
so he was that he was the villain's like number one helper.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I think he's had some issues, you know, overall with addiction and stuff too. But I think he's bounced back.
Yeah.
But he was in The Abyss. He was in Aliens. He's been in a lot of different. I don't think he was in The Rock. I forget. But he was. He might have been in The Rock. But he's been in a lot of different movies. He's so good in that movie.
He's so good in that movie. And I was like, I had never seen the Terminator. Yeah. I just assumed because Arnold Schwarzenegger became such a icon after it, I assumed that he was a good guy.
Oh, you didn't even know? I wish I would have watched that movie. A, either with you or B, as you. Because, yes, like, what a fun way to watch that movie.
Well, so then I was like, oh, wait, but this is the protagonist. Where'd this guy end up in the world? Yeah. I mean, I just think we could say, like, Michael Biehn did not have the same trajectory that Arnold Schwarzenegger did.
No, and at the time, maybe they thought that he would. But but the difference was that, so Arnold's career, I don't know how much you knew about Arnold, but, like, he was
Mr. Olympia?
Yeah, for Olympus, whatever it was, for forever. And, he became a megastar because of it, bodybuilding back in those days. And had a movie you should watch that you'll laugh your fucking ass off to is Pumping Iron, which is a documentary with Arnold. And you just see the kind of massive star he is, and he gives, and he's kind of a dick. Like he's messing with Lou Ferrigno and getting in his head, and it's like kind of like what like Bateman does to people in Showdown. Like he does that shit too.
So this is you saying Bateman's kind of a dick.
Oh, people know that when it comes to inside of the Showdown. But this is he does this, but and then he went on to do a movie called he actually might have done this first before Pumping Iron. He did a movie called Hercules Goes Bananas, and they dubbed his entire voice, and he was Hercules. But you can actually find a version now where it's him.
It's him.
But when it came out, it was so clear that it wasn't him. But then he got Conan the Barbarian, and
interesting.
He was a good guy in that. He was Conan. Yeah. You know, that was 1982, and then I think that James Cameron approached him to play Reese. In that and
interesting.
He's like, I wanted to play the villain, so I told James. I said, I do not want to do this. I want to be the bad guy. And he's like, well, you can't be. No one's going to see Arnold as a bad guy. He's like, I can do it. And they had this whole thing, and then he wanted to play the bad guy.
And it's perfect because he doesn't talk that much, and sometimes when he does talk, he's just, he's taking on other people's voices.
Right, but even when he does, it's terrifying.
It is, yeah. I'll be back, I didn't know. I knew the origin of it was Terminator. I didn't realize it was because he was about to
murder all the fucking police.
Murder all the cops.
Yeah, and then when he says the...
I'll be back.
Oh, she keeps showing up.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That was such an honor. I was Steph Zapra for a hot second.
When he's like, how about Bill Paxton showing up in the beginning? You didn't see Bill Paxton showing up?
Which one's Bill?
When he kills all those punks in the beginning?
I knew I recognized one of those.
Bill Paxton.
That's Bill fucking Paxton.
He goes, I need you.
He's not great in that.
And your glasses. And he's just like, he goes, laundry day, huh? Nothing clean, right? Nothing clean, right?
Yes.
And then he just fucking kills them all,
like,
with the...
Fuck you, asshole!
Yeah. The Bill Cameron used to work with Paxton all the time.
Get out.
They have True Lives.
Well, also Paxton... Is Paxton in Titanic? No.
Yeah, he is.
Billy Zane is.
No, Paxton is the guy in the beginning. He's the one that's looking for the jewels.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Because it's very funny to me that Terminator, the guy that directed Terminator, is the same guy that directed Titanic. It's amazing to me.
I know. It just shows you...
It also
shows with him why... Everyone's like, I don't give a shit about Avatar 2. No one's going to watch that. Never doubt that, dude. Never doubt that, dude. First of all, Terminator, low-budget movie that no one thought was going to be anything, becomes one of the biggest sci-fi films of all time, right? Sci-fi horror. Then he does the second one, and he just... People don't realize that that's where he did a collaboration with, like, ILM and Lucas's technology. You'll see the tech. Like, for 1991, when that movie came out, that tech... The special effects were, like, revolutionary.
Wait, in Terminator 1?
Terminator 2.
Oh, I was going to say, Terminator 1, I even felt like, I was like, I could appreciate, I was like,
Stan Winston,
they did, like, a great, like, you know, they made Arnold's face. It holds up.
Like the, and the Terminators are scary looking.
Yes.
You know, there's some stuff still. It's like, okay, that's 1984. But,
sure.
But whatever. But for the movie holds up. Like, there's a lot of movies you go back to the 80s, and you're like, that is dated.
Yeah.
Right. But like, even we'll talk about another one in a second. We watched a movie, family movie with Beethoven.
Oh,
the dog movie, right? The woman.
Love it.
And
Charles Grodin.
Super dated film. Nice like pity. Everything about super dated film. But it's fun for what it is. But the Terminator had a lot of things that just still hold up. But Terminator 2, yeah, he puts that movie out. It crushes. It becomes like the biggest movie ever. True Lies, massive movie. Abyss, big movie. And then he puts Titanic out. Everyone's like, oh, this is going to be the biggest, no pun intended, disaster that has ever that we've ever seen in film. It's taking too long, the delays. It's super expensive. It's way too long. And it becomes the most profitable movie of all time. And then they're like, this Avatar movie, what the hell is this? It's not based off an original property. Nobody knows what the hell it is. Who's in this movie? Who the hell is Sam Worthington?
Right.
Who gives a shit? Becomes the most profitable movie of all time. And I think it just surpassed Avengers Endgame again recently.
No way.
Yeah, and it's like, and so when people are like, it's not a, no one's going to give a shit about the second one. Until that dude fails.
Yeah.
Then I'm like,
yes.
He is every time he's played for a championship, he's won the motherfucker. So yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm catching up on the Christian properties.
I like it. I mean, you see, they're all right there. Every one of them. You see what, I just had Steph watch Heat the other night. She watched Heat with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino.
And Al Pacino. No, I was gonna say I know you do that. That's your number one, isn't it? Your number one, Pacino.
It's probably
You really loved Irishman, I know.
I liked Irishman a lot. Carlito's Way, Heat. Godfather 1 and 2. I have Godfather 1 and 2. I have all three of them, but I got to go back and watch them again. I've seen them, obviously, but I don't know them the way everyone else does. Especially now, I'm doing this big rewatch on The Sopranos. That's like watched Sopranos and I watched Loki.
Oh yeah, that's what you wanted to talk about today.
No, not necessarily. We can. I mean, that's the beauty of this show is that we'll talk about movies and we'll talk about TV that we've watched and we've seen, and then the beauty of pre-taping is that afterwards I can title it. This is what we talked about, you know. And Loki, I watched
Kate
this.
Gets pranked by Christian.
Yes,
at the top of the show.
I will tell you. Let's tell what the prank was. So. So there was a Loki was the season finale. Was great. And it was, and this is why I think for people, if you didn't watch the Loki finale, then you're going to get spoiled. Kate doesn't care. She'll either A, forget about it, or probably wait until you get to Creed. I feel like you're going to like Creed 1 and 2 even more so than the Rocky movies. I think so.
Because really?
You love Michael B. Jordan, don't you? Yeah. You're going to, they're great movies. They're great.
Have you seen him?
I did a stare down with that dude. I did a stare down.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Like he was a super good dude.
Ugh.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. But anyway, Loki season finale. What I like about these shows is, and this could transfer into Star Wars, could transfer into any of these shows that they're doing, is that you don't have to do the traditional, oh my God, this is that we have the hit series on our hand. We got to do 5 of them and just keep pushing them out, even though we probably should have stopped at 2. This is 6 episodes.
Done. It's done?
Done, because they've set up the universe. So do you know the general idea?
No.
All right. So the general idea of it is that there's a did you ever see Endgame?
No.
Oh, you didn't. All right. Well, then this is not, you know what? This is probably better. So the general idea of this is that for Endgame, as you guys know, like, they played with time a lot, and then the beginning of Loki shows that this version of Loki, because Loki ultimately dies in Infinity War, but in this version, in Endgame, he escapes. So when Loki, when the series starts, this version is in an alternate timeline. Owen Wilson finds him, who's been working for this, for the TVA, which is
like, hey, Loki, good to see you.
So good in this series.
Does he sound like Owen Wilson?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Remind me to call Jamie Costa after we get off. Okay, the phone. Okay. I'm gonna try to talk to Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try to talk to Kurt Russell, and I'm gonna try to then channel the great late
Robin Williams.
But we'll do that in a second. Okay. But anyway, so they find him. And then he starts working with Owen Wilson. It's like a buddy cop thing, because there's this variant of someone else inside of a different timeline that is causing problems. It turns out to be a female Loki.
Oh, wow.
There's other versions of Loki, the multiverse and all this stuff, but there's other timelines that are... There's this one infinite timeline that the TVA is trying to keep consistent, right? Okay. That's their job. So the variant, this female Loki and our Loki, Tom Hiddleston, start working together, and she ultimately wants to find whoever this guy was or person was that ruined their life. And I got to find out the actor that plays the one who's still alive, or I mean, you guys will correct me immediately. I know that's not it. It's the last man standing, whatever the hell it was called. But he who lives, whatever it might be, that was the guy's name. The actor that played this guy was phenomenal. Really, really good. And he's got a lot to do. There's like he's got a lot to do. I'm going to ask Winston. I'll do this right now. Let me see. Hey, Siri, text Alex Marshall. Oh, I can't do that now. Just gave away Winston's real name on air.
Oh, I think.
Did he already do that?
I think he already did.
All right. Well, too bad. Sorry about that, Winston. That's how I usually do it, because he's listed on my phone. Cause it just updated.
That's so funny, because it updates based on what he has in his. Yeah.
Whoops. Well, anyway, so there's this scene, and the very end, basically what happens is the guy tells him, he goes, look, I've been here forever doing this. What happened was there's all these different versions of me throughout the time that were battling. There are good versions of me, and there are a lot of evil versions of me, a lot of them. And they all were fighting against each other inside this multiverse war, right? And he said, so I created this one infinite timeline that worked and kept them all at bay, and it's just, that's it. It's good. TVA has kept that in line. They didn't know that there were variants, whatever. You guys have figured it out. So it's basically like Willy Wonka almost, right? He's like, here's the deal. You can either kill me.
Yes.
And if you kill me, I'll pop back up, and you're going to have to deal with a lot of versions of me, so be it. Or you and male Loki can run it, tell everybody that they're variants, run it how you want to run it, and continue my work. It's up to you. So he's like, Tom Hiddleston's like, let's do this. Let's run it. He's like, and she's like, you just want to be in power. He's like, no, because they like, it's weird, because he falls in love with, eventually, how narcissistic, falls in love with himself, because it's a female version of him. But either way, they're having this big
sounds
battle.
Like my marriage.
They're having this big battle and this big fight, and he's like convincing her. He's like, don't, because she's trying to kill him. She's like, I'm going to kill him. And he's like, no, let's work together. And there's this big emotional fight. They wind up kissing, right? But then they had this whole thing, and he's like, let's do it. And she's like, all right, you know what? You're right. You convinced me. And she pushes him through this portal, shuts it. And she's like, but I ain't you. And she kills the dude. And all the timelines open up. And I think the way it leaves it is that he's in a different timeline, because Owen Wilson doesn't even recognize him when he comes in. So he popped back into the multiverse. That pops into the Spider-Man movie and everything else that's popping in, because there's all these rumors that, you know, like, that Tobey Maguire is going to come back, and Andrew Garfield.
Right,
from
right.
And it's ultimately like the animated movie that came out that won the
Spider-Verse.
The Spider-Verse. Yes. So it's like that. But now all these different multiverses are going to open now because of what's happened in Loki, and that's going to open up this whole new phase in MCU. So it was
Loki's
set up
just
really
a
well.
One season deal.
6 episodes. That was it. It just told the story. That's all it needed to do.
It's amazing.
The story. Yeah.
Because that's also, I did not realize WandaVision was limited also. I was like, I'll see another season of WandaVision.
I don't think that there's been a clear cut decision, though, that that's.
Well, except for that it's up for the Emmy in limited series.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like.
So maybe they made it official.
I don't know.
Well, maybe they bring it back. I mean, look, limited series doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you can't come back and do another one. They could come back and do a second limited series, you know? As long as it's like, I think that Cassian Andor, the show Andor that's coming out, is set for a few seasons from what I heard.
Oh.
And it's not limited. Obi-Wan is limited.
Is limited.
Which is great, which is what I want it to be.
Yeah.
Because you can get something like this, because this is why when you have six episodes at 45 to 55 minutes an episode, you know, okay, it's going to start here, going to end here. So how do we establish everybody? It's a 6-hour film. And I thought it played very well. I thought it was one of the better ones because I think it delivers the most. I do think, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I do think that if you're watching the overall MCU, you're going to want to watch this series because people are going to, if you're watching these other movies and they start opening up different time and different people start jumping in, you're like, oh, how did that happen? Well, in Loki, they did this.
Right.
You might not have to. They might figure out a way to do it where you don't have to. But I was really impressed by it.
I got to tell you, I feel like Disney Plus has done no wrong in terms of their original series
right now,
so far.
Right now.
So far.
So far. So far, so good. I mean, I've liked Winter Soldier. I liked WandaVision, even though I was the least excited about that one. And I really dug that one a lot. I thought it was creative. And
that
Loki,
one got me hooked.
Time travel and parallel universes, though, you're always going to get me with that because that's like I'm fascinated with that shit.
You should see the Terminator.
Terminator, it's one of my favorite movies, but the time travel is some of the worst time travel explanation stuff. And like
that's why I think I understand.
Yeah, but it's like what they say in Endgame. Paul Rudd is talking about, they're giving him an explanation of how time works, and they're like, well, it doesn't. If I went back and I stopped us from meeting back in the day, right? It's like, well, then if we came back here, we wouldn't know each other. It's not true. It's a different timeline. It's like time. If you believe in what a lot of real scientists are saying, it's infinite and there's multiple universes. So it wouldn't affect this timeline. It would affect that timeline, which is how they play in like Loki. So if we went back and and you decided to tell Mark and I not to do the Schmodown at that pizza place, we didn't go to the pizza place, and Schmodown never happened. You come back here, Schmodown would still be here.
Right.
It just then doesn't happen.
Right.
It's just, and it branches off.
And
that to me is why I was so fascinated by the way they did it in Endgame and why the way that they continue doing Loki, because if you believe in all that stuff, in Back to the Future, it's like everything when he got back, it was changed. Now, but the argument could be, well, maybe he just jumped back into that same timeline and wasn't able to jump into his timeline. I don't know.
It's like that ripple effect, right?
The butterfly effect, right? Yeah. It's like, I absolutely believe in the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
But my wife does not, but like it's one of those little things, like such a small thing of one thing I say to you today.
Yes.
If I have a particular conversation that sparks a thought in your head, and if I decided not to say that thing, that you decide, maybe I mentioned coffee, and you're like, oh, I'm going to go get a Starbucks. And then you go to Starbucks, and when you're there, someone drops $100 on the floor.
Yes.
You give it back to them, and they go, oh, yeah, that was very nice. He gave you $1,000 because of it. Now, if I never mentioned coffee, you don't get that $1,000.
Yes.
You know, and that
100%.
You know what I mean?
I'm with you 100%, but my dark brain was like, and I go to Starbucks and the place is shot up. No, I got $100. Okay. That's just like how dark I am.
Yeah,
I
but
was
you,
like, uh-huh.
But in the same thing, like it's like, you know, it's those little things that like I just got before you got off the phone, before you came here, I got off the phone. I had a really good phone call. And the only reason I had that phone call is because of a thought that I had at one point that I said, oh, let me call so-and-so about this. And who knows?
Right.
If I don't have that call, then other things happen, things maneuver. And it's like these little moments that are, and it's, you ever see Sliding Doors with Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yes.
She misses the subway or something hits her by a second and it changes everything.
Yes.
100% believe in that.
I do too.
It just, to me, it mathematically makes sense.
Yes. And I think the thing that's tricky is to prove what would have happened if it went a different way.
Right.
But I do think that I also think that's again, my dark brain, but I'm also like, well, that's why car accidents, it's like you happen to be, the reason that you were on that freeway is because you left your house 2 minutes late because the babysitter was coming over and you had, this is a true story. And the babysitter, you wanted to get the clothes that you had folded the night before while you were watching Rocky off, you know, it's like, and so then you happen to be on the freeway at that moment when that truck is on, you know, it's all of these things.
It actually goes back into the overall theme of like Terminator 2 is like, what is it? Is it fate, right? How much of fate goes into it? And do you believe in fate? Do you believe in it? Well, like as far as certain choices that are made, like those types of things, like was it, some people go, well, I wasn't going to do that.
Right.
And this is even in Loki. They say, so you know everything that's going to happen. And the guy even says, he says at the end, he goes, I did up until about 20 seconds ago. Now I don't know what's going to happen. It's the first time ever. I don't know what's going to happen. And it's like everything else was kind of put out. Cause Loki's like, so you're saying like everything's just put out in front of us and we know what it is. And a lot of people like, do you feel like that's what it is? Do you think there are different versions of yourself out there as far as parallel universes and multiverses go, right? From the way that time works in general. Some people don't even fathom it, right? The same way that you don't fathom like aliens and UFOs. And now there's so much conversation about UFOs now because people are actually seeing them and still though, even those people like, well, it's not an alien. It's some kind of military spaceship they don't want to tell us about, or somebody else, or we don't know what it is. I don't know. I mean, some people think that it could be humans from like the year 4000 that have figured out how to get here and move on. The fuck do I know? I don't know. I don't know shit. But I also know not.
That's my brain.
Yeah, but I also know not to say that I definitively know what it is.
That's right. The thing is, if you don't, I feel like if you don't know, this is like what I was having this problem with people with the vaccine. People are like, I feel like that some people will say, it came out too quick. I don't trust it. Fine. Okay. Yeah. It came out too quick. We just don't know enough. But those are the same people that say, and it causes sterility. Okay.
You can't be both. Right.
You don't know.
You don't
stick
know
with
that.
You don't know. Don't go on to things where you know.
This is
you
what
don't
it causes.
Know.
It causes this. But you don't know. But someone has a blood clot. Yeah. But how do you know that person didn't already have a blood clot? And there's like eight people. And it's like, but you know, this is and there are different conversations altogether that people have, and we won't get into that today, but
no,
it's
I didn't
just
mean it politically.
No.
You know what
it's
I'm
not.
Saying. It's like,
but that's the problem, that this particular thing, as far as the vaccines go,
it
has become politicized, and it shouldn't.
Yes,
it shouldn't. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is that it's politicized.
Yeah,
and it's like everything is now, and that is an overall problem in general. And again, I ain't going saying that if you're on the right, you're in the wrong. If you're in the left, you're in the wrong. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is nobody should argue that it's like there is no one helping anybody. If you think that, oh, well, you know what? Republicans have a good point, but I ain't saying that shit. I ain't going to lose my job. You know what? Democrats, they're really making sense, but fuck that. I ain't losing my position, and I'm not saying shit. It's the Red Sox versus the Yankees.
Yes.
It's not, and the Red Sox ain't going to help the Yankees out, and the Yankees ain't going to help the Red Sox out. And that's the way it is. And there's no, and that's why we're in the position that we're in, because people are not trying to help each other out. They're trying to say the people that I like the best are right. And even if you say something wrong, even if you say something right, I ain't saying it's right. No way. I can't show that because then I'll get yelled at. Then I'll lose my job. And then the same thing with people on Twitter and Facebook. It's like it's a disaster.
Dickie read this really interesting article that he told me about that I'm going to get wrong, but it was about how we are that up like 20 years ago, we were the most church going democracy, and like that fell off, and that people then replaced religion with politics.
Oh.
That there's. If you don't belong to a cult, you belong to this cult.
Yeah.
There's sort of been a lack of
it's
like
belonging on anything.
It's
sure.
a belonging.
It's a belonging.
And
for
so
sure.
people, where do they put that fervor? Where do they put that energy?
Right.
Where do they? And so it's gone into politics now. I don't know if it's true, but it was an interesting.
It certainly
article.
Feels that way.
Yeah.
And it's not. And there's no one. There's well, I shouldn't say there is, but there are people who are saying, "Hey, we're all on the same side." When you talk about the country, but the problem is that everyone goes, you're just saying that because you want people on your side.
No.
You know, and it's like, and there are some people that do say that.
Yeah.
Just to say, nah, you know what? We're all on the same side. Come on and join us.
Right.
And it's
right.
it's fucked, man. It's fucked bad. It's
and I think
bad.
My whole point was, though, like somebody being like, I don't know what that is, but I know it's not
right.
this.
That's,
no, you
that,
don't get to say it. You stop at, I don't know what that is.
That's exactly right. And
you
that's
stop
why
at that part.
I know what I, like, I had this whole conversation with Brett about like dreams,
yeah.
like, what I want dreams to be and what I want, like what happens in death. right?
Oh.
Like, that's a, that, this was like the beginning of episode one of like what happens when you die. What I want.
I'm sure Brad was in a great state leaving.
No, we had a fun conversation about it because the question is like, it's like what a lot of people believe is, that's it. You don't, you, is that what you believe?
I don't know. I think it's probably similar to my birth, which I have
no. Remember it.
I don't.
Right. The other thing is it like what I hope it is? And I, by no means do I say I believe in it. What I hope it's you go to, you go into another universe, your consciousness places into another version, yes, of yourself. Because if it is this, because people have said that they've felt like they've been in, woken up in different universes and positions of their selves, right? And if you're able to, and again, this is just what I want, not necessarily what I believe at all, because I don't really necessarily believe it, but
yeah.
But I'm hoping,
yeah,
that, you know, it's like I fought this kid when I was in the sixth grade, and I was going to my grandfather was on his deathbed. Oh. I was going to Florida like the next day, and I don't even remember why I fought this kid, and I didn't win. And it was in front of people that I, that, you know, were the cool kids and all that stuff too. And I wasn't a fighter,
yeah,
back then. And like it taught me later on in life.
What you need as a manager.
I mean, as a manager, but I wasn't. I was a fucking geeky little kid that was telling jokes and all that stuff. And this kid was kind of a douche and whatever it was. And it wasn't like, it was embarrassing. And that's how I went to go see my grandfather,
oh,
you know? And I remember that particular thing. And I remember being in the car. My dad was probably younger than me at this point, but like,
isn't that wild?
And I was going through all these emotions as a kid. I was in the sixth grade, whatever it was. And I was going through all these different emotions. My grandfather was ready to pass and my dad knew it. And I remember this thing happening in the car to this day that was such a miscommunication that my dad didn't understand what I was saying. And I was so shocked by this. My dad was going through, like, he knew he was about to lose his dad.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there and I started getting really emotional. My dad goes, yeah, I'm going to go see him first and go talk to him. And in my head, I start thinking, my grandfather's about to leave. I'm going to lose him. And I start crying. I go, it's not fair. This is not fair. This is not fair. My dad grabs me. He's like, what do you mean this isn't fair? He's like, he's my dad. I'm going to go see him first.
Oh,
and I was so confused. I was so confused. And my dad's not. And by the way, my dad is like the sweetest.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like,
of course.
Like my idol.
Yes.
Like my idol.
No.
Never,
no. I
never.
Know.
Never. Like anything except like someone who has been encouraging me and everything. He was just that emotional. Like he thought I was being like.
That's not fair. I want to see him
right.
first.
And it was the last thing. And I was so confused. I've talked to my dad about it too. He doesn't really remember it. But
yeah.
But
well, because it was an
that,
event in your life.
It was in my
it's
life.
A non-event
to him,
his,
it was
yeah.
saying goodbye to his father,
yeah.
you know? And so, like, all of that, like, being able to, I go, and then, like, I pop up there, right, in that moment. The things that, first of all, I've been watching a lot of UFC, so I'd fuck that kid up.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because they would know about MMA back in 1987, whatever it was. They would know
you
about
give
it.
Give them an arm bar.
I would do some stuff. I would go for the takedown. People weren't now everybody goes for takedowns because yeah. people were watching UFC. But back then they weren't UFC wasn't even a thing. So all that stuff and all that, but or I wouldn't even be there. Or I wouldn't even be
yeah.
there. But then I would handle that whole situation going to Florida to see like all of that. I thought about this
yes.
a million times over. But at the same thing, because of the butterfly thing that we were just talking about. What does that mean as far as that timeline goes? Do I ever, right then and that with those different choices, my kids aren't born.
Yes.
With that choice alone.
Yes.
Because I don't go on the same path.
Yes.
You know, isn't it crazy? Like,
it's totally crazy.
It's a lot of weed, Kate. But it gets you there.
It gets you there. Listen, I would love, well, this is the other question. If you don't want to answer
yeah,
this,
yeah.
you don't have to. But I have so many people that have lost very significant people in their lives,
yeah.
Significant others or mothers or brothers
yeah.
or whatever. And like, I can't deny some of the stories of people coming through. I don't know if that person's, I can't deny, like they tell me a thing. They're like, there was a quarter in the quarter. Like, and I'm like,
it's this thing, this quarter and the pennies thing. My dad has said that there was something as far as pennies.
Yeah.
He's noticed something.
There was
my brother.
Just something,
yeah.
but like, so does your brother ever come through?
Not
to you?
To me.
Not to you.
Not, but to my, I mean,
to Brian?
I'm waiting for him to come to me because my everybody but I think right now.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just not paying attention to
yeah.
it. I don't know.
But, or maybe, I mean, I also think it's also the sort of thing, too, where it's maybe that because we believe in a thing, like the people that believe in
mentally,
the thing.
You don't know. I mean, look, yeah. So I just mentioned my buddy Brian Cashew, who yes. died at 9/11. Soon, like, I found out.
Was he Cantor Fitzgerald?
So this is so funny that this is coming up now, because I don't know why, but I looked him up yesterday again for some reason. And it was as if he was speaking to me, because there's a picture of him and he's holding this pizza box. And I zoomed in on it. And I go, you know what? It's from Brooklyn. This pizza. Next time we go to New York, I'm going to go to this pizza place that he was at, right? But I read this thing, and my late brother, actually wrote this song for him,
for Brian Cashew.
So like it was that he had done after Brian had passed. But Brian Cashew was working at this one place, and when I was at the WWE, I had traded an email with him, and this was in August. He's like, I'm starting my new job. He had been there for a month, right? So what happened was, I told you, he was head of the tech when yes. he was a kid.
Yeah.
He was like a massive computer guy, like back in the day, and he became like an IT guy. He was like the main IT guy for Cantor Fitzgerald. So
Cantor Fitzgerald lost everybody.
So he was supposed to come in every morning at 9:30 or 10 o'clock. That morning, they called him in to get there at 8:15, 8:30. And I think that's the time that the plane hit.
Because I think also Cantor Fitzgerald was, I think they, if I'm remembering correctly, they were having a company-wide thing at Windows on the World, which is the restaurant.
Is that what it was? Maybe so somebody, that's why
all,
they, so that maybe
was,
that's why they
no
needed them.
No one came back down once no. the plane said nobody well, made that's it why back I down said, from Windows on the World.
Again, going into a bit of a morbid thing, but I also actually get comfort out of this. The way that plane hit at that point, no one was like, oh my god, I'm you don't have time to you're incinerated.
It's over. If you were on the level,
he was on the 103rd floor.
It's like that
Tony Soprano moment of it just goes by. For him it was just
yes,
wait, what, boom, it's over.
Yes.
You didn't have time to suffer and all that. Yes. Too, so that does give me
yes
not satisfaction, but it gives me I'm relieved to know that, particularly because you see all the poor people that had to jump and all that stuff too. Is you guys coming up to 20 years?
It's
20-year anniversary this September.
That's crazy,
isn't it?
Easy.
Did I tell you who the phone call was from that I found out
no.
about the second?
Because also, how was your phone working? Like the phones were all out in New York.
I was in New York. I was here.
Okay.
I was working at the WWE. I just lost the gig, and I just came back. I'd been back maybe a week. I went to Vegas with my friend Jay, came back, sleeping in my
car.
But I was sleeping in my room, and a phone rings, and it's Brett Sheridan. And he goes, we're under attack. I was like, what? He's like, we're under attack. Turn on the television. And I turn on the television, and I think that the second plane I didn't find out about my friend until 3 days later. Here's another bit of it. He had proposed to his girlfriend a week before.
Christian.
I know.
Nobody's trying to be this sad
on a
Friday
morning. I'm so sorry. No, just this is hey, look, this is the conversation where it can go.
But
I was working at CPK when it happened. And I was working at CPK. I was walking home in this. I remember it clearly where I was in the alley, walking back to my car, and I listened to a voicemail from my dad. Brian's fiance had called him and told him. And I just fell on the floor at this point. I go back in, I sit down, I'll never forget this. This is crazy. And as I'm walking in, I was upset. I was crying.
Of course.
My friend was comforting me. And there was this kid. He points at me, starts laughing. Right? Laughing. And I'm looking, and I look up, and there's this fit of anger that came in and started
I
noticed he was special needs.
Okay.
He wasn't laughing. He was pushing towards, he was going like this, and he could see that I needed love. And it was
did he hug you or no?
No, I didn't. I just, his.
No, I knew
his,
COVID was coming.
No, yeah, 20 years later. But his, whoever he was with at the time, brought him with. But I understood it. I didn't say anything to him. Within seconds, I'll never forget that feeling. It was like this fit of because I didn't understand.
Yes.
First of all, that he has special needs until I really took a look. And then it was this fit of anger, right before you're ready to strangle somebody.
Yes.
And then to this overall feeling of comfort. It was bizarre.
Oh.
It was so bizarre. And it's just so that was, yeah.
I honestly
think. Window.
What a window. A lot of weed.
Yeah,
does it work
right?
there?
Yeah, it's true.
I can't believe it was Brett. that called you.
It was Brett, yeah. I remember it clear as a day. And then walking around just remembering how different the world was going to be after that. And like just feeling like, you know, walking around. Because that was my home. And I remember like it was like a week or 2 weeks later. I flew back to New York because my buddy was getting married. Was getting married. And
my job? Not my job.
You always say that. The other John. The Patty. It was that John. This was before Patty. But it was, yeah, and I remember flying over and looking, and everybody was just like, holy shit. It was just surreal.
It's wild to me because I feel like we have a lot of those. I feel like we have a lot of landmarks in our lives.
Yeah.
We're a certain era that, like, I was going off to college for my sophomore year, and I was still home because Northwestern starts late. But, like, I can tell you where I was, you know, on September 11th.
Sure.
I can tell you when Barack Obama became president.
Right.
I can tell you where Kobe. Like, there's just, it seems like, I don't know, I think about, like, our parents' lives. I'm like, yeah, I remember thinking, like, they had so many more things. They remember Martin Luther King being assassinated, JFK.
Right.
Like, and they also have September 11th. And it's, like, wild to me. The longer you live, the more.
Yeah, it's more things that, for sure. Well, I mean, who the fuck is going to forget about COVID? You know, it's like.
Truly.
Well, I'm hoping that my 3.5-year-old forgets about it. That's kind of the hope.
Yes.
My 9-year-old will not. My 9-year-old will remember because it took away like a year of her school.
Right.
To where, you know, and a lot of children, obviously, and a lot more than just school. But like that. But she's going to remember that. So that will be something.
Oh, yeah. But also, like, then there's the next pandemic that's our kids are going to remember.
Which one? The Delta?
No, whatever one comes next, there's another.
Yeah, well, I mean, hopefully we're long gone at that point.
I'm telling you, there's a pace.
But I want to go.
The pace is accelerating.
Can I tell you about the line jumping thing that I came up with, too? This line jumping thing is going to keep coming back, guys. This thing if you were given one gift that you could do, flying, do whatever you wanted to do, whatever it was, you know, what would you take?
Flying.
So you take flying.
Yeah,
I would line jump. And so,
that's such a good answer.
And what that is the ability to, because if you believe in the multiverse and you believe in all these different timelines, time is infinite, time moves in different ways, different speeds. To be able to say, all right, Kate, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk outside. And I go outside and I close my eyes and I go and live an entire lifetime. Right, somewhere else, different timeline where I didn't fight that kid, do this, all that, lived that entire life.
Yes.
About to die when I'm 85 years old, whatever it is. Close my eyes, come right back. You wouldn't even know when I come back and I do this shit.
Oh, right. I was thinking of line jumping of like.
A lot of drugs.
Yeah.
What do you got? Try this one. This one's from Colombia. All right. This one, Brooklyn. Whoa.
I'm such a basic bitch. I was like. Oh, yeah. Don't wait in lines at Disneyland for sure.
Your mom.
If I know. I was like, yeah, we could just go. We could just, yes.
Line jump wherever you want.
Any lines.
Yes. You don't have that money.
Yes.
You still need that money for it, but you can line jump. No,
you don't have to wait for the vaccine.
No, timeline jumping. Timeline jumping. That to me, like.
Okay, I think time is an important part of that.
Yeah. Well, I just call it line jumping. Like, to me, it would be, imagine you get into a fight. With your significant other, whatever it is.
Never happened.
You're like, I'm going to go take a dump. And you go in, and you just go, and you live somewhere else. You go to, you know, you have to go on the blueprint of your life that was here, but you can make a different choice.
Yeah.
Like, if you knew, like, you know what, I remember when I bombed that job interview.
Oh.
And I know that if I would have just said that, I would have gotten it.
Yeah.
Go back to that moment. Say the other thing. See if it would have worked out. See what those choices would have made.
That is fun.
And then if it sucks and if it's like, oh, shit, this is worse than my other life, then jump back to the moment that you did.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Would you want to do it if the only way you could line jump was that you were taking a dump? And like,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Who cares?
But then you show up everywhere.
Taking a dump?
Yeah,
but like, who's going to be there watching?
I don't know, but you're taking a dump someplace. Is all I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
Okay,
I don't want to give it away. I worked on a script similar to this, where the name of it was not the guy taking a dump, but it was a guy doing something else.
Okay,
and it was I guess if I put it on, here, it's documented that it's mine, so you can't.
Yes,
you
that's
can't
true.
Steal it.
Intellectual.
But property. The guy would jump into consciousness into different parts and be able to change it up, and it wouldn't affect. The line what I was just saying, and he was a plumber, and I called it Pipe Dreams.
Oh,
right. To everyone else, he'd come back and he had all this knowledge and everything too, and like, you're just a dreamer. He's like, but he'd be able to. But he knows that these certain things that happen in this one timeline. It's very similar, kind of what in a Groundhog Day when he goes and he's able to meet all these different people and he knows all so much about them. And then when he talks to him, like, how the fuck do you know that about me? It's like this guy would live in different versions of himself. There's a version of himself where he didn't lose his dad. There's a version of himself where he became a favorite a baseball player because he made that. You know, Mr. Destiny was a movie that came out, and like he struck out in the big game and it fucked up his whole life. But in the Michael Caine, I think it was, who gives him a shot and he hits the home run and it changes his whole life completely. So like shit like that. But it affects that one timeline.
Yep.
In my version of this, plus in general, it's different timelines that just affects that timeline.
Yeah. Dude, I love that.
Do you know you're going to be coming here talking science today?
I love it. I got to tell you, it's one of the things that I love about weed, for real. I know. But there is something about, like, I do think a part of our brain gets unlocked.
Yeah.
With drugs. But I haven't done any of, like, the real hallucinogen. Like, I haven't done ayahuasca or acid. Have you done any of those?
When I was in, I didn't tell you this story. Like, I think I definitely told it on Clara Live, like, years ago. I haven't done it since college, but I did it at college. My favorites, there was this girl, Tara Oakes was her name. She's an actress, and she was in...
Look her up?
Yeah, OCHS, and she was at Florida State, and she, very sweet girl, and she was, like, one of, like, the BFA, like, major, like, theater stars, right? Yeah. And I took, like, this, and she was given, like, acting classes, you know, for students, and perhaps, did you find her?
Yeah, sure did.
And,
Well, she's your type, so.
but there was nothing, between us at all, except she was the teacher,
I meant, she's your type, she's a woman.
so she was doing these, yeah, that's her. So she was, but she was teaching this class. And she was, and I remember riding my bike, and I was like, "Well, you know what? The class is only like 40 minutes, so it probably would make sense to do a tab of acid right as the class starts. That makes sense. Let's try to do that." So I was like, "It'll be over, and then it'll be fine." 20 years old, whatever the fuck I am, and so get there, do it. She starts teaching me, and I shit you not. In the middle, right as she's teaching me, her face just goes up one side and down the other side. And I was like, "You're an alien." And I'm just looking at her face and I'm like, "Yeah, well, this is what fucking acting is. Pretend nothing is wrong." And I just, I don't know how I did it. She didn't know because I ran into her at, she started doing like stand-up and Acme Comedy Club years later. Ran into her and I told her the story. She's like, "Yeah, I had no idea. I just thought you were weird."
True.
Very true. Then I start riding my bike away, and in Tallahassee, it rains like Seattle, right? It starts raining. It was as if I was having sex.
Oh.
It was incredible. The rain is coming down or whatever it was. And actually, I don't even think, I want to tell you that it didn't actually start raining until I was riding my bike afterwards, because I rode my bike first to this dorm. This is exactly what happened. Rode my bike to this dorm, and I get to the dorm, and for some reason I feel like now is time to lay on the grass.
Yes.
I'm not home yet.
This is the time.
It's time to lay, like the way a dog does.
Yes. Yeah.
And so I'm laying on the grass, essentially doing a, and then it starts raining.
Yeah.
And then I look up, it's a fire drill. And the entire dorm is outside watching me do an angel. Do I, A, at this point, go, "Oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed."
Yeah.
And right away. B, look up and say I'm sorry and then walk away. Or C, I don't give a shit and keep doing it.
C, Charlie.
100%. and so I'm just laying there, and there's not one person on that balcony that didn't say, "He's on drugs."
Yes. Right?
And so I then go, leave, and then I'm laying on the hood of my car when I get back, looking at the tree, feeling the tree, understanding how the tree is
feeling.
This is
what I'm saying.
Like, and going through all these different things, and I was just like, yeah, I mean, it's a hell of a thing, but it's like, it's not something that I would do.
Well, no, and it's also, it's not like it alters you forever. It's not like it's going to always alter the way you see things.
Listen, it might have fucked me up. I don't know. Maybe it did.
No, I just mean like there's something about like I like thinking or like thinking about things differently.
Right.
Like
it opens up another door. That's what they, yeah. Timothy Leary and others said. Yeah. It opens up different doors in your brain that yes. you normally wouldn't access. You know?
But it's, I think it's good that we can close those doors again.
Yeah. And I don't recommend it to anybody, by the way. It's like, it's not one of those things where it's like, yeah, you should do it. It's like, no, I don't know what, I don't know how it fucked me up for what it did, but it definitely opened up
And I'm
doors.
Sure people who have like trauma, that shit comes
and I'm
out.
I'm sure that it's still, I don't even know. Does people still do acid anymore? I don't even hear about people doing acid anymore. It's like it was like still like a held over. This is like the you know the late 90s. So it's like still held over from the 60s, 30 years prior. So.
My best friend came to college. The guy that became my best friend in college came to college and was like, "That's all he did in high school is drop acid." Yeah. And I was like, "It's the year 2000. Like what people still?"
Like, it was like
but it was a thing. And like that, he was also a guy that robo tripped all the time.
College, I think it was a thing though too. It's like where I remember the first time I remember someone. Actually, no. The first time I ever did was Iona College. It was the first time I had done it with my buddy, this guy, Jonesy, we'll call him.
Jonesy? Just kidding.
No, but yeah, and that was, and then college was the last time that I did it. That might have been the last time because I think it was a good enough one that I was like, because I never had, I got lucky. I'm going to do it again. But I never had a bad trip. So it was like, I had seen people who just chew off.
Oh yeah, and it's not quick lived.
No, you're tripping for like 8 hours.
8 hours, right?
Yeah. So you don't want to. You got to lock in, and it's like because some people don't like there are certain people I know that would never be able to handle it because you just can't. You got to give up control. You got to understand that for the next 8 hours of your life, you're gonna be in a fucking weird thing.
Probably not a great candidate for acid.
No, I don't think anybody is. To be honest, nobody should be doing it. But it was you know again college and being in that spot. And it probably, like you said, it just opened up a train of thought that I had never been in before. And it probably is the reason I'm thinking about line jumping.
Yeah.
it's like, I don't know if I would ever come out with line jumping if I had not tripped balls in front of Tara Oaks. Who knows? Tara Oaks. I wonder what she's doing.
Tara Oaks. She's still acting, it looks
like.
Is
she? She good. So. She was very talented.
Also, Britney Spears' Freedom is at hand. That's what Google's telling me right now when I go to find Tara Oaks. I don't know what that means.
Well, anyway, look.
American actress. She was in Selma.
Yeah, she was.
Life as We Know It.
Yeah, she's
the fall.
She's very. She's was she in The Fall? Which one?
Let's see.
Which one year was that? Is that the one with?
That was when
Let me see. Was The Fall the one 2000? Don't tell me.
Okay.
2007.
Okay.
Or 2008. 2007. 2007.
Let's see. Let's find out in a second.
If it's the movie I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Tarsham.
Okay.
And who directed it?
And your winner is not Christian. The fall is 2006.
Directed it?
Sorry, it's pulling up. Tarsim Singh.
Tarsim Singh. So it came out in 2007 in the States because Mark and I didn't remember she was in that movie.
Maybe she was in the TV show The Fall.
She said Tarsim. That was the guy who directed it.
Yeah,
2006, 2007 was it must have been released in festivals in 2006, and then it came out because Ellis and I weren't reviewing things yet in 2006.
No,
and we had seen that together. It was one,
and
Steve Simone.
Funny, I did a review
Britney Spears.
Of Britney Spears for you.
I remember that, and I absolutely remember that. That was when we were we weren't on YouTube at that point. Don't you love how the conversation now can just go anywhere?
Anywhere.
It really can.
We, by the way, should we tell them we dropped acid at the beginning?
Hey, we did, for sure. I thought you were going to go into the prank.
No.
All right, listen. Thank you guys so very much for joining us. If you didn't know already, and not just this little guy. I know this little guy. I know everybody's very excited about this guy. I'm excited for this guy, but I'm also excited for this. Schmodown Spectacular, December 4th, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be at the Globe Theater. It is going to be a big, big extravaganza, the big party at the end of the year. Five massive matches, everybody. Four titles on the line, and you can all be there. The SchmodownLive.com. Also, don't forget about the Star Wars Cantina, the Scum and Villainy Cantina. It is August 1st and August 14th. There's going to be a total of 8 matches between the two nights, but August 1st, you can come watch Dan Merle defend the championship against Ethan Irwin with 3 other matches on the line. Could be tournament matches. Tournament matches. And then August 14th, Mike Kalinowski and Chandru for the IG belt. There's only 15 tickets left on both of these. Don't forget, this is a full-on bar. They have an open kitchen. You'll be able to. It's a very small space, so you'll see people walking around and you'll watch how the sausages are made. SchmodownLive.com, New York, October 9th. It is going to happen. Tickets aren't on sale just yet. They will be. Collision, July 31st. And yeah, man, we have so many great things happening, and we hope that you guys will join us. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast feed, Apple Podcasts. Leave your comments. We're responding to them. But yeah, Kate, you got anything else for us?
I'm just glad that I'm Mr. Wiggly. There I am. No, I do want to correct myself. Yes. There was a different movie, The Fall, that she was in, which was in 2008.
Okay.
And that was John Krueger.
Okay. That's a different movie. That's what I thought. Cause I don't remember being in there.
Yeah. Everybody knows Tara Oakes, her face.
Go back from that point, but not in real life. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Thank you to Kate Mulligan. Go follow Kate on the Twits and on the Instagrams and all that. Great follow. Thank you guys so very much. See you on the flip side. Farts.
Shoot.